You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Amen. Amen. Mr. Kenny, are you cocked and loaded?
I'm ready.
Okay. Come here, Kenny. I want to brag on you for just a second, okay? This guy, he showed up, what, a couple of years ago? It's been a couple of years ago. And he just keeps getting better and better and better. And one of these days, we're going to be able to say, I knew him when. I knew him back when. Yeah.
I'm ready for that.
Are you going to bless us tonight? I know you are. Okay. Give him a great big hand clap.
Thank you. The song I'm going to do for you tonight is by my favorite Southern gospel singer. It's called Where I Knelt Down. It's a really good song. Listen to the words to it. Go ahead, Ricky. No, we ain't going to do that. We can hold over, hold over. That's what we're doing. We're holding on. No. There we go.
Places where we marvel at the monuments of men that can be found.
Bibles, if you would, to the book of Acts. And if you'd like to turn there and don't have a Bible, if you lift your hand, we got some guys that'll get you a Bible. And let me say this about the Bibles, men and women both. If you don't have a Bible, keep this one as our gift to you. Now, if you've got one, then just you can use ours. And if you don't take it with you tonight, if you put it on that back table instead of leaving it in the chair, then that'll save our people some work. All the people that make this possible are volunteers. Nobody is paid to do this. Whether it's driving those buses, setting up this room, roping off there. Whatever is done, it's done by people that do it because they care. They want you to have a good program. And so, if you'll help us with that. Also, I forgot to mention the butt cans. Let me say this. They're quite popular because we started with five and got three left, Brother Johnny. Brother Johnny bought it. They took one that's never been used. Brother Johnny bought us five butt cans. We lost, I think the wind back blew a couple of them off, and we were short of butt cans. And Brother Johnny went out and bought us some more butt cans, and we were proud of our shiny new butt cans. Please just put butts in the butt cans. Don't put paper goods in the butt can. Put those in the trash. Don't put liquid in the butt cans. But put that on, pour that on the ground or in the sink or something. If you'd help us with that. Now, fortunately, and I had somebody to clean them up this week. I don't know who the good fairy is, but that's great. Do it again. Whoever it was, I appreciate that. I want to talk to you just a little while tonight about what the resurrection means today. We're 2,000 years, give or take a few years, since the day that Jesus rose from the dead. If you Google on the internet, you'll find there are over 4,000 religions. I'll not recite them for you. 4,000 religions. And there's only one that's got a living founder. There's only one that, all of them have got founders, but only one's got a living founder. All the rest of them got a tomb somewhere. And what is amazing about all this is that Jesus was only 33 and a half years old. That's not very old. Probably half the crowd in here is older than that. That's not very long to live on earth. What is amazing about that part of it is his ministry was only 3.5 years long. Now that's shorter than a presidential term. And nearly all presidents serve 8 years. One term is four. He didn't make it one full term. He never traveled further than 100 miles from home. He never got a degree. He never wrote a book. He was never on the radio or television. He was never interviewed. He did his preaching just out in the open air in public. The crowds came to hear him. Now people spend all kind of money getting the crowds to come and hear him. Crowds came to hear him. He had something to say, and if you hear the two of us speak, you know why they came to hear him. But he never owned a home, never wrote a book. He didn't do what makes people famous. And yet, we're, like I said, 2,000 years past that time, and the world will be reminded this Sunday that Jesus Christ died on the cross and 3 days later got up, rose again. This is fascinating. There in Acts, where I ask you to turn, it said in verse 3, Acts chapter 1, verse 3, he said, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Let me just call your attention to those three words, many infallible proofs. People hate that so much. It's changed in most of the new Bibles to many proofs or conclusive proofs. Many infallible proofs. If you look it up, to say many infallible proofs means that you can't prove it wrong. It's incapable of being wrong. And he said, not one infallible proof, many infallible proofs. Nobody could deny it. Let me tell you how they the religious crowd wanted to then, and they still want to now. If you turn with me back to the book of Matthew, the very last chapter in Matthew, this is after he's risen from the dead, verse 11. And said, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch, that's the people that were guarding the tomb, some of the watch came into the city. Remember, they'd put a guard on it, put Roman guards on the tomb so this wouldn't happen. Because they'd heard him say he was going to come forth from the grave. So we've got armed guards watching this grave. And said, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. They came in and said, hey, he's gone. He got up. He left the door open. And he didn't leave it open to get out. He left it open so people get in and see he's gone. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, here's what we want you to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Now here's a bunch of disciples. We got 12 disciples. We got 11 at this time. But we got 11 disciples. Only got two swords between them. And they don't know how to handle them. One of them, when he used it, cut off a guy's ear. You know, of all things, the Bible, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and he cut off his ear. So he couldn't hear. And they came and stole him. They overcome these Roman guards, these trained fighters. Yeah. And said, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. We will take care of you. So they took the money, and I usually do it. They took the money, did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. But let me tell you what the Jews will do this day. They will have tours of the tomb. They won't let a missionary come into Israel. But they'll let visitors who would be willing to pay for the tour, they'll let them do it. And whether this is a real tomb or not, we don't know. But I guess they can pick one and fish sales. That's good. Let's let it go with that. But this is what they did then. We're still trying to do it now. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, is a resurrection chapter. It is a fascinating chapter, but I want to just I want to start reading at verse 13. And listen to what he says. Follow with me if you've got a Bible. Starting at verse 13, 1 Corinthians 15. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith also is vain. If you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he didn't rise, you and I are stupid. Our faith is in vain, and our preaching is vain. And yea, we are found false witnesses of God, Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. That means every relative that you buried is gone to hell, if Christ be not risen. If only in this life only, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. If this is it, we all just live and have our being, get old, get cancer, have a heart attack, get a stroke, end up nursing home, and die. That's the end. We have, if only in this life that we can sing the songs and attend church and there's nothing after this, we're pretty pathetic people. I don't know about you, but I'm thank God this is not all there is. I've got to do a lot of things in my life. I've been very blessed, but I've got to do everything I'd like to do. But I'm going to tell you, nothing looms as beautiful as heaven's gate. And he said, but now, I love the word, verse 20, look at this. But right after verse 19, he said, but if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now, sometime get you a concordance, just run down those words, but now. They have, following them are some unique verses. But now is, not was or going to be, but is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept? He's alive. And because he arose, you and I get to arise. Let me give you three things that the resurrection of Christ does for us, and there's a multitude. I pick three because they're important to me, and I hope they are to you. Number one, because Christ rose, he guaranteed my salvation. He guarantees that I get to go to heaven. Notice, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans is a fantastic book. Chapter 8. He's got more references to the Holy Spirit than any chapter in the Bible. If you talk about a victorious, that's that chapter that says we know that all things work together to good than them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. But I want you to notice in verse 11, just in that one verse, he said, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's the problem. Not because of me. Not because of you. You and I have done nothing. But he said, if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, then the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, because Christ arose, we will arise if we put our faith and trust in him. We're wasting our time if Christ didn't rise from the dead. I'm wasting your time tonight. We should be playing shuffleboard or something. But that's not one event 2,000 years ago that transpired in seconds. You know they're still going to be talking about it. They've talked about it every year since then. I love Christmas and Easter. And I know there's a lot of false things with it. I know there's a lot of junk. But every year, the world, from Lower Slobovia to the most educated place in town, or in the nation, or in the country, is reminded that One, Jesus Christ, the virgin-born Son of God, came into this world. And two, He died and rose again. Greatest miracle it ever was. And we are, I don't care, you can be an atheist all you want to be. You can be a Muslim all you want to be. You can be any other religion all you want to be. But this time, this year, you're going to have to face the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. You say, well, I don't believe that. That's okay. It was kind of interesting that when they paid the people off, and they said, just tell them that the disciples stole him. You know they never arrested a disciple? You know they never questioned a disciple? You'd think it'd be some interrogation, wouldn't you? Wouldn't some warrants be issued? Yeah. Hey, we're going to get to the bottom of it. Nobody wanted to touch it. You know why? Because they knew in their heart of hearts he'd got up. He left them. He arose. And they didn't punish anybody, didn't try to, didn't even investigate it, wouldn't touch it. Kind of interesting. Many men have given their lives for others. A lot of folks have given their lives, but only one arose. Rest of them just dead until he comes back. Second thing, not only does resurrection guarantee my salvation, the resurrection is one of the basic parts of the gospel. When we talk about the gospel, how do you get to heaven? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. We were over a while ago. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. And look at, we'll just start at verse 1. He said, moreover, brethren, 1 Corinthians 15:1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, but which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, and here's the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, number one, according to the scripture. He was buried. Number two. Number three, he arose again the third day, according to the scripture. He died. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. And in fact, that's the only positive part of the gospel. It is three-fourths negative. He died for our sins. He was buried. That sounds bad and sounds final. But then he rose from the dead. Always, that's why the Bible said, that's why Paul said in Christ, it's always yea, yea. It's never nay, nay. It's always the positive part. Now, notice this. Has nothing to do with religion. Paul didn't mention religion, which one you get into. He didn't mention any other ordinances. He didn't mention this or that. What he mentioned was that everything's in Christ. He died. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again, according to the scripture. Third thing that the resurrection guarantees, and turn with me now, back to the book of Acts, but chapter 17 this time. Acts chapter 17, and go to verse 30. Paul is on Mars Hill. And this is where all of the elite, the intelligentsia, went. And they debated, they argued over stuff. I don't know if anybody's ever been to a Mensa meeting. or even if you know what that is, but it's made of a bunch of egg heads. And two guys in one of these got an argument over whether they were prejudiced or not. And they were both really arguing, and it turned an old boy that didn't have any business being there. And they said, "Are you prejudiced?" He said, "Yes, but I hardly ever go to meetings." We get in off into all kind of things, and this is the kind of people. It's on Mars Hill. In fact, they're making statues to God. They got all kind of religions. They even had one statue that said to an unknown God, just in case we missed one. Here we got an unknown God. And Paul uses that as a text. He said, "I saw you deal," and he begins to tell them about Jesus Christ. And we'll not go through all that, but in verse 30, because he's told them about God's creation and this type of thing and what man did. And he said, well, let's start at verse 29. "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art or man's design, device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at." He said he let us get by with some stuff. Some of us have done some pretty stupid stuff, and God is kind of winked at. He let us get by with it. But notice this. "But now," there's that word again, that phrase, "but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." He said the days of God letting people slide over. You've all got the information now. You all know better. "But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent," because, why does he want to? "Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men," how? "And that he hath raised him from the dead." When Christ came forth from the grave, God turned the judgment of this world over to him. He is the judge of you and I. One day, the man who wrote Corinthians that we read while ago in Romans, Paul, who was doing everything in his power to get rid of Christians, he had a briefcase full of warrants arresting them. Even if not imprisoning them, killing them, taking them into capital punishment. He watched one of God's deacons get stoned to death. They laid their clothes at Saul's, that he was called back then, Paul's feet, as they killed this man. And he was on his way to Damascus to arrest those people. And Jesus Christ stopped him on the road and knocked him down. And here's what he said to him. He said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He didn't say, "Saul, why are you mistreating my people?" He didn't say, "Saul, why are you badgering the church?" He didn't say, "Why are you doing all of this to some nice folks? Why are you taking this into your hands?" He said, Why persecutest them?" He said, "Saul, let me tell you something. This is mano a mano. This between you and I. It's not between anybody else. Why are you persecuting me? What do you got against me?" A lot of things you and I can come up against. We live in a world that's got a lot of problems. Politics are filthy. Criminal did not. There's not any justice in the criminal justice. We can point out more wrong except, what do you got against Jesus? because he is the one that you and I will stand in front of. As a Christian, we'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. If we're not Christians, we'll be at the white, great white throne judgment. But either way, we're going to face the one who was crucified, buried, and rose again. We'll see him. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you will. Let me ask you that question. Why persecutest Jesus Christ? How is it with you and him? I'm not asking you about how is it with you and your church or your religion or your family or the government. How is it between you and Jesus? Are you ready to stand and face him? Could you look to him and say, Jesus, I put my faith and trust in you as best I know how. There was a time that I asked you into my heart. Maybe you recall the day and the hour. But Lord, I've turned it over to you. But maybe you can say, I've never done that. It's not very good between me and Jesus, because I've chose not to make it good. Now let me tell you what you can do this night. You can make it good. You're here and you say, Leland, pray for me. I'm not saved. If I were to die tonight, I have no hope of heaven. Would you just lift your hand up? Say, pray for me. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God bless you, sir. I see you. Yes. Yes, and yours. Yes, I see them. Yeah. Put them back down once you lift them up. Real quickly, anyone else? I'm getting ready to pray. How is it with you? Our precious Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands. Father, now is time. You said in your book, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Father, give them the guts, the courage, and the faith to step out tonight and put their faith and trust in you. Also, you're here and you know God is dealing with your heart. You need to restore the joy of your salvation. You've wandered away. You need to come and say, Lord, I'm tired of running. Won't you stand to your feet, head bowed, eyes still closed, nobody looking around, please. Brother Doug is going to begin just as I am without one plea. Won't you come on the very first verse and say, I trust Christ as my Savior. I want to get it right with him tonight. Would you come right now?
Just
come on. Come on.
I am,
yes, sir. Come right on, guys. Yes, sir.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.